You know, we began, I think it's close to 2 months ago, we began about speaking about the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. We spoke about the Spirit of the Lord, right? We spoke about the Spirit of life, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of adoption, and now we're speaking about the Spirit of truth, and we are continuing on what we began last week because God has a lot more to say about the Spirit of truth. And we know that He is the teacher and the guide. Holy Spirit is the one that's teaching us, guiding us every single day. I mean, He brought us here today, right? He's the one. He says, you're coming on Zoom, you know, and you're going to attend this service, whether your body feels like it or not. If you're here, you were led by the Spirit and you heard the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's begin in chapter 14 this morning. And I want to begin in 15. I had 17 only, but I want to begin in 17 in 15. So John 14, 15. And the Word of God says this. This is the Lord speaking. If you have a Bible with red letters, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Here He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Helper is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Oh, another helper, that He may abide with you forever. Like Sister Vinny said, right? And that scripture we read, the Spirit is makes residence in our temple. He's residing and indwelling in us right now. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. And for those who have accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling in the inside of you. Amen. And it is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of life. You know, the Spirit of holiness that drew us to Him. Amen. One time in our life, and we went to an altar, or we just confessed, Lord, as our Savior, and we said, Lord, I want to surrender. I want You to be King over my life. I want You to be my Savior, Lord God, because I can't live the life that I'm living. I want to live a new life in You, being guided by You, being led by You. And we all did that. And the second you did that, the Holy Spirit came and began to reside in you. So anyone that hasn't been born again cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit, like it says here, right? It doesn't know. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it doesn't know Him. It hasn't accepted Him, right? And that's what the Lord is saying here when He said that the world cannot receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know. So non-Christians, right, can't receive anything beyond their five senses. They cannot receive or be led by the Spirit, you know. They really are limited. They can't walk by faith, right? We receive the Lord by faith. They can walk by faith, unbelievers, right? So the Lord Jesus has made a clear distinction between the Holy Spirit being with the disciples here and being in them. Do you see that? Because the last verse we read, it says, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. You see, the Lord Jesus was walking with the disciples. But very soon, the Lord knew He wasn't going to be around them anymore. He was going to willingly sacrifice Himself at the cross. But then He was going to send His Spirit down to indwell in the disciples. And today, as believers, we're in the New Testament now. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, now the Spirit comes and lives in us. Amen. So this is this is revelation right here. Amen. The Amen. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is always involved in all of God's dealings with man. right? If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would not be right now, right here, where we are. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have purchased the land 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would not be walking by faith today, which is the only way to walk in this walk. We got to walk by faith, not by what we see, not by what we feel, not by what we hear, not about the five senses. Amen. You know, like I said last week, we need revelation knowledge. And this is what God is doing here in this platform. He's just giving us revelation knowledge. He wants us to know Him, really, truly know Him. So this was revelation to the disciples who Jesus was. So the Holy Spirit was coming to indwell in them. And that happened at Pentecost, as we know. In the book of Pentecost, you can read it. Amen. But how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Let's go to Galatians. The book of Galatians is such a good book. Let's go to Galatians 5:18. Look what the word says. Galatians 5:18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And we've spoken about the law. The law is the flesh, the carnal mind. The law was what was, it was all about the Old Testament, right? You know, the Lord Jesus came to, not to abolish the law, but He came to fulfill the law. No, we are no longer under the law. We are no longer under self-righteousness, under self. Everything was about self in the Old Testament. But today we are living freely under the Spirit, under grace. We are walking in the new covenant that God has given us. We as Christians, we are continuously surrendering and yielding ourselves to the desires of the Spirit of God, because He's the one leading us. He's always leading us. And the Holy Spirit is opposed to the desires of the sinful flesh. That was our old self. Our old self was governed by the law, was governed by the flesh, was governed by sin. That was our old self. Amen. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you begin to operate in the old self, and then the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge and begins to convict you. Watch what you're doing. You don't want to go back there. Hey, stay with me. Stay with me. You know? And He brings you back, because He's our helper. He is our guide. He is our assistance. But how many of you know that the flesh and the spirit are constantly struggling with one another? This is a daily thing. This is why we as Christians, we gotta be in the Word, because it is the Word of God that continues to edify our spirit, that continues to help us, that reveals truth over and over again, that sustains us. Amen. It is Amen. The Word. The Word is the one that is leading us. Amen. So we as Christians, we need to surrender to the Spirit's leading. Amen. We need to be walking in the ways of the Lord. And honestly, it's a choice that we make every day. Today we chose to be here, right? We made a choice. We could have stayed in bed, right? We could have stayed sleeping. We could have gone somewhere else. But we made a decision to come and be with other brothers and sisters in Christ in this platform, Beacon of Light Church. So it's daily we're choosing. It was a choice for us to choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we as Christians, we need to say yes, yes to the Spirit's leading, and no to the desires of our flesh. We got to say no When the enemy comes in and the flesh comes in to try to tempt us, because how many knows that our eyes can tempt us? But sometimes we can have desires of lust. Amen. And we are saying, no, I'm going there. Right? What I mean by that, you know, sometimes, you know, we can see, you know, we can see things that we want. Sometimes we want what others have. Sometimes we want a big house like our neighbors have. So we may be renting, or sometimes, you know, people may have beautiful cars, and you begin to lust over that material thing. You begin to become jealous. You begin to envy that person. That is sin. And we need to say no to those desires. And there's so many other examples I can give. Amen. Let's go to the book of Galatians again. Let's go to verse 13. Same chapter 5. Let's go to 13. And it says here, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Yet again, another powerful scripture here. You know, before I get to that, if you go to Galatians 5:22, same chapter, right? 22, it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, kindness, right? Goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, right? So the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. It's love. And this is what it says in verse 5:13. "You have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." So love is the key. Remember, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." It was love. It was because of love that the Lord Jesus sacrificed himself at the cross for the love of us, because he knew that in dying, we would live and live an abundant life. No longer would we be subject to the sins, past, present, and future. We would become free. He would make a home for us. Amen. But we would have a life that would be filled with abundance and filled with blessings. So the Lord Jesus sacrificed it all, did it for love. So here the scripture is saying that the way to overcome the flesh, our carnal desires, is through love. It's through love. Amen. And look at what 14 says right after. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And your neighbor is everybody else but you. So this scripture right here reveals that love keeps the law. Reveals that love keeps, fulfills the law, not keeps it, fulfills the law. So when we put all this together, you know, I believe what it's saying, that being led of the Spirit is being led by love. When you are being led by the Spirit, that is being led by love. Love of God, love for God. God is involved in everything. He wrote these scriptures. Men were inspired by his Spirit to write these letters. Amen. In Galatians, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul, who received revelation knowledge from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So, church, when we choose love, hate has no place in our lives. I cannot see any believer or any Christian saying, "I hate so-and-so," because that is a very hard, harsh word to speak over people. God never hates people, has never hated people. What he hates is the sin that they may be committing, but God is a loving God, and he loves people. That's why he gave his only begotten son. So we need to choose love, because love conquers all. Love fails not, ever. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're talking about the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And now let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27. And I pray that as you are, you know, reading these Bible verses with me, that the Lord is just opening up Scripture to you, opening up, illuminating the Scripture to you as you're reading it. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen.
Amen.
Who is the sheep? We are his sons and daughters. We are the sheep of the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? It's the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Psalm 23. Amen. So here it says, we, his sheep, we hear the Lord's voice. So God speaks to our inner person. Our inner person is the one that is dwelling in the inside of us. It is the Holy Spirit. And our inner person, our spirit, hears the Lord, hears the shepherd's voice. The problem comes in when we aren't sensitive to or controlled by our spirits, but are walking in the vanity, right, of our minds. So when you allow the mind to take over, you're not going to be able to hear the voice of the Lord or even recognize the voice of the Lord. This is why it's so important for us to really be sensitive, to really, and we're going to read the scripture later, to quiet ourselves down and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, because he's always speaking. Amen. And when we allow our minds to go places when they shouldn't be, the Bible calls this walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. Right?
Yes.
When we allow our minds to go after anything that is not of God, we're walking in the flesh, not by the Spirit. And the Spirit, and in the Spirit, there is anointing. When you're a believer of God, there is anointing that you know, God is talking to me. Because if it is aligned with the Word of God, if it edifies you, it encourages you, that is the Lord speaking, because we serve a good God. We serve a God that is daily leading us into his way, the right way, into his direction, because he's got a plan and purpose for our life, not just as a church, but as individuals. It's a beautiful plan that the Lord has for us. Amen. So he's always speaking. Are we hearing his voice? This is why it makes me go back to Romans 12:2. If you want to go there, you can go there. Romans 12:2. We're reading a lot of scripture today because it is his word. The word of God says it's his word that sets us free. The truth of his word. It's not his word. It's the truth of his word that sets people free. And in Romans 12:2 it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. Romans, this verse right here, it helps us to understand that now as new believers, right, and we're believers, we need to abstain from anything that is outside of the Word of God. We need to get away from the ways of the world, from the status quo of the world, because it's not good for us. Because if we begin to be influenced by the things of the world, we can fall into sin. We can be tempted and we can fall into sin. But this is what the Lord is saying. And how do we renew our minds? We got to be in the Word. We got to read the Word. We got to allow the Lord to speak to us. We got to commune with the Lord. The Lord wants intimacy. He wants relationship with us. He loves when we sit quietly before and say, okay, Lord, let's have a conversation, you know. Sometimes you just need to be intentional and remove yourself from all the noise. Amen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Tongue twister here. Jeez. This is the will of God, that we remain cleansed. In other words, that we not conform again to the things of the world, that we stay away from, and we're going to go there, Galatians 5:19. Let's go back there. This is what the Spirit is saying to us today. Now, the works of the flesh. So this is saying your sanctification, right? We need to abstain from the works of the flesh, which are, in Galatians 5:19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, that's putting anything before God, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. So Scripture is very clear. We need to stay away from that. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit of the flesh. That is walking carnally. And the Word of God is saying, you want to do my will? Walk in sanctification. And do not walk in these things that are mentioned in 5:19 and 5:20. That's what it's saying. And as we become faithful in walking out God's general will for our lives, church, which is revealed in Scripture, this is revelation knowledge, then the Lord will give us more specific direction, because now we're hearing, we're allowing the Lord, you know, we're allowing our ears to hear what He's saying to us. We're allowing the Lord to, you know, our ears to hear, to give us specific direction and guidance. And that's what we need, church. We need the Lord's guidance. We need the Lord's direction in our own lives, even at work. We need His wisdom, which is what we have in Him, because we have the Spirit of God. Like First John 4:17, as the Lord is, so are we in this world. So if Jesus had it, we have it today, because He's the one living in the inside of us. So the Lord Jesus knows each one of us by name. We, His sheep, we hear His voice. He knows you personally. He knows me personally. And that is, this is something we need to be grateful for. God, you know me better than I know myself. So help me in this area. Help me. Man, if you don't know what to pray for, just say, God, help me. Because we need His help every day. Church, we haven't arrived. When we get to heaven, we would have arrived. But every day we need His guidance. Every day we need His help. Every day we need Him to help us. Lord, how do I pray for this particular person? How do I pray for one of my children who's just, I don't know, all of a sudden he's going haywire. You know, this is not him. God teaches us through His Word how to pray. God teaches us when we intentionally sit with Him at His table. He talks to us. He teaches us. And the way we hear it is annoying. In your inner self, is annoying. Many people call it intuition, but it's really the Spirit of God talking to you. If a thought comes to your mind, it is annoying. If it's good, if it's truth, if it's aligned to the Word of God, then go for it. Just follow through, because this is the Lord speaking to you. It's annoying. Amen? And from the book of Genesis to Revelation, God was always speaking. And today He's looking for those who have an ear to listen. Because God wants to reveal to His children truth and revelation. He wants to give you more and more. And we need more. We need more, because every day this world, every day we're just, you know, in the news, it's just bad news after bad news after bad news. We really need to get grounded on the Word of God, know the truth of His Word, be anchored on His Word, so when we hear things, we will not be shaken and we will not be moved by what we hear. Okay? Let's go to the book of Psalms 46, verse 10. Hallelujah. I hope you're receiving revelation from today's teaching. I pray you are. 46:10 says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still, right? That means quiet yourself down and be still for the Lord. Because the Lord has so much to say. Be still. Stand watch. Set yourself on a, like they say, set yourself on a rampart. You know what a rampart is? It's a defensive wall that protects you from attacks, right? Remember in the Old Testament, people build, you know, temples and palaces, and they all had ramparts. Yeah. They would go up there and they would be looking out to see if there was an intruder coming against them, right?
Yes.
So when we become still, you know, I know we all have experienced this. When we become still, right? Let's say we go outside to the backyard. When we become still, we begin to notice little things. Like we begin to notice maybe flowers blooming. We begin to notice maybe butterflies flying around. We begin to notice and hear maybe the birds chirping and singing. We begin to hear the wind blow. When we become still, we begin to notice things, right? When you go to the ocean at the beach and you are still, maybe facing the water, you begin to hear the waves, you begin to hear the wind, you begin to smell even the salt, the water, and the sand mixed together. We notice these things, right?
Yes.
And if you allow noise to just, you know, let's say you have the news on, or if you have a song on, or whatever it is, if you have a distraction, you're not going to be able to hear or see the small things that God has created, because everything that God created is good, right?
Yes.
So what this verse is saying, you know, the Lord is really instructing us, you know, be still, you know, like stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop getting so busy that you're not paying me any attention. And let me tell you, we need God's attention more than ever.
Yes, Lord.
And not only that, you know, sometimes like the song said, the Waymaker song, you know, sometimes when we allow that noise to just distract us, we're not really noticing how God's working in our lives.
Yes, that's right.
Because God is always moving. God is the way maker and miracle worker. God is always doing.
Yes.
God never rests. He never sleeps. Okay? He's always working. And the problem is that because of our busyness, we often miss God. We often miss opportunities. We often miss the times that He wants to talk to us. And what when you become still, you know what that does? It increases your awareness of God. And we need that more and more. God is the one that is being exalted among unbelievers throughout this whole earth. God is the one. God is the one. We cannot allow ourselves to miss God. God is the one that's using us to bring in the lost, to bring in the unbeliever to Him. Amen. God is working. And yes. God is working through us.
Amen.
And we cannot get so busy that we're not hearing what the Lord is saying to you, maybe to say to somebody, maybe to go somewhere, maybe to bless somebody financially, maybe to spend time, maybe to write a letter to an inmate that's in jail. We're too busy. No, God says, quiet down. Be still. Know that I'm God. Know that I'm working on your behalf. Notice me. Become aware of me. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Hebrews 12:2. Chapter 12, verse 2. In the book of Hebrews, this is what it says. Looking unto the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. What's that telling us?
Amen.
That's telling us that we gotta fix and gaze our eyes on the Lord. And we gotta be watchful. And here, you know, watchful to see if He's showing us something. Watchful to hear, maybe He's saying something, right? So the Lord is our perfect example. And He's the one that should be occupying our focus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is writing our story every day. There's a story in our life every day, and seasons are new chapters in our lives, right? And what this verse is revealing, that the Lord was focused on the joy that was set before Him. See, He knew what the cross meant. This is why He went and He prayed, right? Before He went to the cross, He said, Lord, this is a heavy cup that You've given me. I don't know, Lord. But anyway, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. But the joy what was going to result, the joy that was going to result while He endured pain, while He endured suffering, a pain and suffering that no one in this world has ever had. Mm-hmm. He not only endured this in the physical realm, because He bore the sickness and disease of the whole world, but He also suffered spiritually as He literally became sin for us.
Yep.
He became sin for the world. Mm. But yet, even through all that, He wasn't occupied with the suffering, but He was joyful because He knew He had the victory. He knew that if He conquered, and when He conquered, that we would become conquerors as well. That we would become victorious as well. That we didn't have to declare that we were victims, but now that we are victors in Christ Jesus. Because it was all through the finished work of the cross that we can say, I am not a victim. I am a victor in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And this is why He was able to endure such contradictions of sinners against Himself. And that's the same for us. And this is what the Lord is teaching us. our minds right here, our minds that are so flooded with so many things, they're like magnifying glasses. Whatever we put our minds to focus on, whatever we put our focus or our attention to becomes bigger, right? And more dominant in our lives. Whatever we fail to focus our attention on begins to shrink in importance and influence. So I ask you now, what is your mind focused on today? Excuse me. Right? What are we focusing on? Are we gazing our eyes on the Lord, on Scripture, on the Word of God? Or are we focusing on that issue, that problem that we have, that mountain that seems pretty heavy for us, that burden that seems pretty heavy for us? What are we focusing on? Amen? Because whatever you focus on, you're making it bigger. Right? But when we know the Word of God, when we replace sense knowledge with revelation knowledge, that knowledge begins to diminish that mountain, your problems, your busyness, right? Because now our eyes now are turned on the Lord. And if we are, and if we know the Word of God and we know we are more than conquerors, we know that everything's going to turn out for our good. We know that what the enemy is intending for evil, God is turning around for our good. But we need to focus on the Lord. We need to focus on the Word. We need to focus on the truth of His Word. We need to focus on the things that are aligned to the Word of God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, and behold, new things are right here, right now for me. Amen?
Amen.
Excuse me. This is why two Christians can go through the same exact things and they will have different reactions, right? Because one is grounded on the Word and one is not so grounded on the Word. One may be moved because of the circumstances and the other one is standing on the rock, standing on the solid rock of the Word. They're not going to be moved. They're not going to be shaken. But the other Christian, if they're not standing on the rock, if they're not gazing on the Word, if they're not gazing their eyes on the Lord, they're going to be moved and they may even fall. Amen? So that's why you can have the same thing going on, but you can have different results for two Christians. And some become so obsessed with the issues that they're having. And they put so much emphasis, so much value on that, that really they totally begin to blame God for it sometimes. And that is not of God. God is a good God. The enemy is evil. But God is good. God is great. God is the one making a way for you. He's already made a way through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we got to focus on His Word and know that we are winners, that we are victorious, that we are more than conquerors, that yes, we can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because God is always for us, never against us. Amen. Let's go to the book of Acts 2. Let's go to chapter 2, the book of Acts. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to verse 17. And it says here, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And this is what the Word is saying today. Amen. This promise is of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is being poured even now more than ever unto all flesh. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to the church right now. Amen. It's evident that not everybody has the Holy Spirit, but God is revealing Himself. And He's knocking at our door. He's knocking at people's door to receive salvation. He's knocking. He's pulling. Just like he pulled us in, God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. God is literally giving dreams. I know my daughter's having more dreams than ever. I've been getting dreams. I've been having visions. And we all, even when God shows us pictures, God can speak to us through a picture, through a movie. Sometimes reading the Word, God will give you a vision. When you go to sleep, sometimes we are dreaming things. And if it's aligned with the Word of God, that is God talking to you. Sometimes when you wake up and you have this dream or impression, begin to write it down. That's why many people have a notebook by their night table. Because as soon as you wake up, sometimes we forget our dreams. And when we wake up, we should be writing down the dreams. Some dreams may not be of God. If it doesn't edify, doesn't encourage, it's more than likely not from God. But if you have a dream and it's solid, it's from God. Sometimes you have a dream and it may be a warning from God. This is why it's so key for us to say, God, reveal this dream to me. What are you saying through this dream? What are you saying through this vision? We need to ask the Lord. God says, ask and you will receive. We need to commune with God and say, God, what are you showing me? Just for like when we read the Word of God. God, when I read your Word and I study it, reveal to me the truth of the Word. How does it apply to my life today? Right? Because we could read a verse today that maybe we read a month ago, and maybe it applied to your situation back then, but today is today. And when you read a verse or a chapter in the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, to illuminate the Word to you, to bring you more understanding of the Word. And church, honestly, when you begin to journal or you begin to write down the picture that you receive, maybe a vision that you receive, or maybe it's even an impression that you receive or a dream that you receive. And even sometimes people will call you and say, I was praying for you and the Lord said this, this, and this. Pick up your notebook and begin to write. Begin to write. Begin to write. Get a notebook. Begin to write. Begin to journal what you have received. And then, Lord, give me an explanation. Give me an understanding. What are you trying to say through this dream, through this vision, through the Word, through the prophetic Word that I just received from you? What are you saying? So we as Christians, we should be practicing journaling. It's very easy. Just have a notebook and a pencil. Begin to journal. And I can guarantee you that as you begin to write, the flow of thoughts that will begin to come in are going to be from God. And as you write, God is going to give you the interpretation of what you're asking, because God is faithful. Church, God is faithful. He will answer us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, the time is really, really running here. You know, just going to skip a few things, but write down your prophetic words, and then the Lord says, test me. You know, test every word that you receive. Is it aligned with the Word of God? Does it lift you up? Does it edify you? Does it encourage you? Does it bring peace to you? Or does it bring confusion and fear? Test every word that you receive. Test everything that you get. Is it in line with the Word and the character of the Holy Spirit? If it's not, let it go. Let it go. You don't need to concentrate or focus on the bad things. No, we need to focus on the good things. We need to be encouraged, not discouraged. We need to be enlightened, not in despair. We need to be in joy, not in sadness, right? So, whatever you're receiving, is it lifting you up? Does it bring you peace? Remember last week I said about the red, green, and yellow light? If there's a decision to make, do you have a green light to go forth with what your thoughts are, which is probably a thought that the Lord gave you? Go ahead. He's giving you, go ahead and just do it. But if you feel like a red light because your spirit is uneasy, you don't have peace with the decision that you're making, stop, don't do it, and just let it go. Okay? I want to read real quick. Oh, my God. I have so much here to say. But remember Gideon, Mark, Brother Mark Gideon in the book of Judges. Right? Remember the fleece. And we got to go there. We got to go there. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. I'm going to try to rush this. Amen. Because, again, there's so much to say. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And let's go to verses 36 to 40. Just reading a few verses. Amen. I know Brother Mark has taught on this. Amen. Judges 6, 36 to 40. It talks about Gideon, said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, because the Lord gave him a word, right? Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so, right? When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, Lord, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry, only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground, right? So the fleece, you know, is it a fleece or a sign, right? God had given him a prophetic word that he was going to conquer, right? And he was like, I don't know. So, you know, so what is a fleece? You know, for Gideon was physical direction. He was asking God to direct him and confirm, you know, what he was saying to him, right? It was like an open door or sign. So in the Old Testament, as we know, king and priests and prophets were anointed by God, right? But yeah. Gideon was a military leader. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a priest. And he was being led externally because he was very unsure of the word of God, right? Yeah. But we know from Scripture that he did defeat a massive Midianite army with just 300 men by the leading of the Lord. But Gideon knew the Lord said it, but he was asking. And what does that tell you? He had some doubt, right?
Yes.
So he was doubting, you know, God, are you really telling me the truth? Is this what's happening? He obviously didn't have faith, so Gideon was wavering, right? Yet, listen to this. Even though he was wavering, even though he was in doubt, the Lord met him where his faith was at. Ain't that awesome? Like even just like doubting, remember doubting Thomas? It brings me back to doubting Thomas, right? Lord, if I can just see, if I can just feel, you know, the wounds, then I'm going to believe, right?
Yes.
And the Lord said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen, right? But God is so gracious, and today we have a better covenant established on better promises by the Lord, right? The Lord himself, yeah. Right? And I don't really think we have to ask for signs. It's very clear in the Word, right? If you know the Word of God, then the truth of his Word will set you free. You got to know that you know, like, my sheep hear my voice, and we recognize the shepherd's voice. So whatever's in the Word, we should just say, I believe it. It feels, right? You know, and we are led by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But again, you know, the Lord was so gracious dealing with Gideon's doubts. And he even accommodated the second test, right? Because there was two tests. And I've done that with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not sure if I should quit my job, but you need to show me a sign. And the Lord speaks to me through numbers. And he gave me a sign. And for me, it was the green light to go ahead and quit the job and work from home at one time in my life. So God is gracious. He will meet you where you are at, right? This is how good God is. So, you know, again, today we have something better. We have the Spirit of God leading us. You know, why go back to the old ways? No. Remain steadfast in the Lord. Amen. Because He's the one that's leading us. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Let me go through a few more scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews. I'm sorry, but there's just so much here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, and let's go to verses 13 through 15. There's just so much. I'm almost done, I promise. Hebrews 3. Let's go to 13. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, here I am, the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Am I reading the right one? No, I'm not reading the right one. Sorry. I didn't think so. 13 is chapter 3, Hebrews 3, 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
Amen.
Amen. So this verse right here, he's instructing us how to keep our hearts from becoming evil. We need to exhort one another daily. This is what we do. When we send each other messages, we are edifying each other. We're exhorting each other. We're lifting up each other. Amen. So we don't, and what does that do? So we don't turn away from the ways of the from the ways of God. Because look at what verse 12 says, right before 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. You know, if the word is there, that means that it's possible for us to walk in unbelief. And we have to be very, very careful. A hardened heart is an evil heart of unbelief. We gotta guard ourselves. We gotta watch ourselves. So this verse is clearly stating, church, that our hearts become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is why you have to recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. And we, as children of God, we can say no to the temptations of the enemy. We can say no to sin. Right? We can say no to the flesh. No, flesh, you're not having your way. I am led by the Spirit of God. Because what happens is that sin will harden our hearts.
Yes.
And we have to be very, very mindful. We got to be watchful. Right?
Yes.
We are the children of God. And we need to walk in the truth of the Word of God. I'm not going to go there, but here's the scripture. You know, John 8:31, it says that if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And the truth of the word in verse 8:32 says it will set you free. Amen? So that means that when we continue in the Word of God, we become free. Free from all that junk that tries to grab our attention. Because we can say no to it. And becoming disciples of God's word should be our goal. We need to become disciples of His word. You know, not just think, oh, my sins are forgiven, I'm good, I can do whatever I want. That's not being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Being a disciple of the Word of God is following His commandments. It's following His leading. It's following what the Word says. Amen?
Amen.
And we can do that because we have accepted the Lord as our Savior. Amen? And it says here that only those who continue in His Word become disciples that are marked by the fact that they continue in His Word. We can see them because the Word of God says, by their fruit you shall know who they are and who they serve. Right? So, staying in the Word of God, staying here, right here, studying the Word of God, has to become our lifestyle. Not just something we do occasionally, not just something we do Sunday mornings, right? We shouldn't open the Word of God on Sundays when we come to church. I used to do that. Used to do that years ago. I didn't have a revelation of God yet, as I do today. And the Word says, the just, us, we live by faith. Amen? We live by faith. We live by the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So true Bible faith in the Lord Jesus produces salvation. But being a disciple, right, of Christ, indeed, comes only through maturing in the knowledge, right, of and the action on the Word of God. Are we putting out what we're reading into action? Are we really abiding in the truth of His Word? How are we living? So it is only the truth of the Word of God that we know that will set us free. Not just the Word. It is the truth of His Word that will set us free time and time again. This is a gift. This Word right here, this is our blueprint for our life. But we need to continue in it. We need to continue in it. We need to become disciples of His Word. Continue in the Word of God. Amen? Because when we do, we will experience the freedom and the liberty that God has so freely given to us. Amen? Like John 10:10, I love that scripture. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Word goes on and say, but I, talking about the Lord Jesus, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? And in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, talks about, you know, we are, you know, He is the vine, we are the branches. And when we remain connected to God, we will bear fruit. And we said, we already spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, kindness, humility, faith. That means we can walk in all those things because it's already part of who we are. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God, I tell you, God is always talking. He's always leading. We hear His voice. We are His sheep. He shows us to be His people. He's constantly protecting us like a shepherd does to his sheep. And that's who we serve. We serve a great God who's always speaking, but we're not always listening, unfortunately, because sometimes we allow noise to come in, right? So the problem isn't God's lack of speaking, it's our lack of listening.
Yes.
Amen. And we all go through this. I just went through this myself. I was at the airport the other day, and God began to give me a download because I was away from the noise. I was away from the house. I was away from thinking about my dryer that is broken. I haven't washed clothes. And this. I mean, all these things flood in your mind. But when I went away from my own home, God began to do a download at the airport because I sat still. And I wasn't reading any. I just sat still. And I just breathed in God. And that's all we need to do sometimes. Amen? God is always speaking. Are we listening? So with this, we end with the spirit of truth, right? God is the one guiding us. God is the one revealing truth to us. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as these scriptures were being spoken, that you allow the Lord to reveal truth to you, because He's the one that reveals your direction, where you're going. He reveals Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the one that's revealing His word to us every day. He's the one that is exposing the enemy every day, giving you warning signs. That's the Spirit of God, right? He's the one guiding us into every way that we need to go. And the reality is that the Spirit of God never, never will contradict God's word. Never. Because when He speaks, it is Scripture speaking to us, and it is the Lord Jesus Himself. The Word became flesh. The Lord Jesus is always speaking. Amen? So let us have ears to hear daily what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us daily, because it is His words that are nourishing our spirit so that we can live every day freely in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.